This is the world's greatest Springsteen podcast. We are entering into our second season, and it's 2024. We took a few weeks off for the holidays, and this year is bringing us a new tour, or the same tour. I think it's the same tour. It was the merchandise is going to say 2024 tour, but it's the same pictures and it's the same font, and it is probably the same set list. I am Fisherman, the bootlegger who pays the highest price. With me as always is Tom. Tom, how are you?
I'm good. Welcome back.
Welcome back to you. I'm so excited to be back. I'm excited for the 2024 tour. I'm still positive mental attitude that it's going to be the same tour, but a big mix them up over last year. And I'm really excited. And I really enjoyed last year. I'm ready for something, you know, a little bit of a twist to it. Some exciting things happened at the end of the year that we didn't really get a chance to talk about. There was a second Friday release. We did talk about this at the beginning of when it came out. There was a second Friday release with no announcement, no first Friday is back or anything like that. And then a Christmas release that came out right after we did our last show of the year. And we'll talk about the Christmas release in just a second. But the big news is yesterday, second Friday of the month, they dropped a new show. Nobody told us the series was back on. I can't believe it's going to continue past March when the tour starts. But lo and behold, since the second Friday of December, we have now gotten three shows. And there's a lot of video out there for the third one, and I'm working on it right now as we speak. We're going to talk about that one first because that's the newest one, and then we'll backtrack. We'll talk a little bit. We both had a chance to watch the 99 show from that was released at Christmas time because I did finish a video with that. So, Tom, I know you must have liked this deep cut Cardiff show. I know you've had a chance to hear it. And I'm sure you have a lot to say about it.
Well, yeah, I haven't heard all of it, but what I did hear is really good. And I did look at the set list, and it's one of the longest shows he's ever done, I guess 3.5 hours. And I did want to ask you something, because I haven't, like I said, I haven't heard all of it yet, but it looks like he's played a song twice. Did you see that?
I definitely want to talk about this. He opens with "This Little Love of Light of Mine." And I also haven't heard the whole thing because I'm working on a video and I got to take the video one song at a time. So I'm only through about roulette, about 40 minutes into the show. But I heard the opener is "This Little Light of Mine." And then, yeah, if you look down at the end, in the first encore, at the end of the first encore, there is what you would call a reprise of "This Little Light of Mine." That's something some of my favorite jam bands do a lot. Fish is known for doing the reprise. The Grateful Dead were known for doing the reprise. They might open with a song and then close with the end of that song. The Dead, even Fish too, were known for opening a multi-night stand with a song and then closing the stand four nights later with the reprise of that song they opened with, stuff like that. You didn't see that from Bruce very often, the reprise. A couple times when they were filming a video or something, there's talk of when he's played something more than once, but it's really rare. And the reprise as part of the set list, very, very, very rare. But I haven't heard the 6.5 minute reprise of "This Little Light of Mine." I have heard the very short 4 minute, and that 4 minute includes Bruce coming to the stage saying hello, Cardiff, and all that too. So it's a very short, usually the first part is long and the reprise is short, but in this show, it looks like the first part is short and the reprise is much longer. But again, yeah, I haven't heard that yet. By next week, we will have watched this video I'm putting together and hopefully have a real good idea of what went on that night, July 23rd in Cardiff. But yeah, that's yeah. Best I know about the repeat song.
What's strange is Bruce Bass doesn't mention it. They don't even mention it in the notes about him doing this twice. So I have no information on why or how that worked out in the show, because they don't even.
Did Bruce Bass list it both times in the set list?
Yes.
At the beginning and at the end.
Yeah. And then they don't mention it in their notes, which I just felt that was a little strange. Even the pick is a little strange. I mean, this is what is this like an outtake from Seeger Sessions?
I think it's played on the Seeger Sessions. I know it's played at multiple shows right around this time, this 2013 European tour that was this little light of mine was at a few different shows. I don't think with the reprise, but I'd really have to look at set lists. I only know because when I was looking for video of this little light of mine, because like I said, I'm up through roulette right now, cutting the video. I found not only both the first, you know, opening track and the reprise. I found it from a few different shows also, where he played it at a few different nights. So it was making the rounds. I mean, it's definitely a cover. It's not a Bruce Springsteen song. I think it's on that Christmas show we watched, and I think that gospel band played it. And one of those opening two songs that tested your nerves, with the gospel band, I think they played it.
Yeah, it's certainly not a favorite of mine. I don't know, of all the songs to sing twice, I've never heard of. You say it's happened before, possibly with Bruce, but I don't remember him ever doing a song twice in a concert.
Well, I know he's done it a couple times when they were filming something for something where he's played a repeat of a song. I don't know the specifics behind those stories, but as far as a reprise, I wouldn't know enough to say he's never done it before or since this show in Cardiff. And again, I'll know more when I've heard the whole thing. Did you start listening from the beginning and you only got so far, or did you go through and play some of the tracks you were more interested in?
No, I started it from, I thought from the beginning, but what I actually clicked on Adam Raised a Cane accidentally, which started the show. So I actually skipped the first two songs just accidentally. And I've only gotten up to like Spirit in the Night, and I haven't heard anything else yet.
So. All right. Well, then instead of you telling me about some of your favorites, what we'll do, we'll go over the whole set list real quick, and then we'll really comprehensively talk about this next week after we've seen the video, which is coming out so far. Very, very nice. So look at this. It's like 32 songs and 3.5 hours. This Little Light of Mine, Long Walk Home right up front there. Adam Raised a Cane, Prove It All Night, TV movie. Mm. I didn't look it up, but he says he'd never played it before and he's never going to play it again. And I think that might be factual. I think that may be the only time that TV movie has ever been played. So
I started laughing because he says, yeah, after the song, he says, you've heard it first and you've heard it last.
Right. And you've heard it last. And that might have the prof 10 years later, that might still be true. Somebody will be in the chat go, no, what about 20? I don't think he's played it.
I thought maybe he could have possibly played it during the reunion tour, but I wasn't sure. You know, it's good. It was, I could see why he wouldn't want to play it again. It's not anything great, but it's a fun little song.
I thought it was great. I'm glad to have it. And the video's real good. Wait till you see it. It'll make the perfect, the perfect accompaniment to having that song done live is now we'll have a real nice video with great sound. Cynthia, which he mentions is Steve's favorite song. It's not the only song he ever has called Steve's favorite song, but he has mentioned before that that is Steve's favorite song. So it's certainly on a short list. Fade Away from the River, I think that's one of Steve's favorite songs. There's a handful where whenever they come up, Bruce calls them Steve's favorite song. Cynthia is one of them, and at the start of the song he does bring it up this time. So roulette, Death to My Hometown Roulette. I don't want to just pass over that. There's a roulette right there in 2013. I guess there were a few. He was playing roulette right around that chunk of time. Death to My Hometown. We Take Care of Our Own. Wrecking Ball. Spirit. Hungry Heart. My City of Ruins. We Got to Get Out of This Place. It must be 1975. He's playing We Got to Get Out of This Place. Oh, you know what? It has Eric Burdon from the Animals on it singing with him, doesn't it? I haven't gotten that far. I haven't gotten that far, but I saw in the videos that I'm looking through the videos that has Eric Burdon from the Animals singing with him or singing. He might be doing all the singing. I don't know yet, but I'm looking forward to hearing that. Boom Boom, Cadillac Ranch, Summertime Blues. You Can Look, Pay Me My Money Down, Shackled and Drawn, Waiting on a Sunny Day. I wonder if that's with a kid. The Rising is probably with a kid, 2013. The Rising, Badlands, Tougher Than the Rest, Born to Run, Ramrod, I'm a Rocker, Dancing in the Dark, 10th Avenue, Freeze Out, Shout, This Little Light of Mine, Reprise, Second Encore, Janie, Don't You Lose Heart, Thunder Road. That is a crazy show. I want to go to that show. That sounds like a blast.
Yeah, this was a lot of songs from Tracks. We Got to Get Out of This Place. I'm looking forward to hearing that. And now It's My Life. That's an Animals song, correct?
That is an Animals song also.
That would have been nice because, you know, as we know, that was like a staple in the early.
It was, but so was We Got to Get Out of This Place. He played, I don't know which one he played more, but he played We Got to Get Out of This Place often.
I think It's My Life was more of a common song play. Yeah, and he had done it before, you're right. But it's just, I don't think he did it that much.
I think It's My Life was more in 78, and We Got to Get Out of This Place was more in 75. But again, whenever you go by my memory instead of Bruce Bass, you're doing yourself a disservice because my memory is schlock.
I just heard a version the other day of It's My Life from, I think it was 77 or 78 from Rochester. It was so good. It's just the story you used a lot, you know, about his father and arguing with him and coming home and father sitting in the kitchen. But it was just a different take on it and really theatrical the way that they had the music come in while he's still talking. And it's just like this buildup. It was so cool.
Was it a bootleg or was it Nugs?
Bootleg.
Was it one of your tapes or CDs or was it like you were hearing it streaming somewhere?
Yeah, someone just put it on YouTube.
It's on YouTube.
Yeah, there's no video. Just, and.
Send me the link. I'll check it out. Speaking of no video, this Tuesday night, hopefully this show will be up and I'll actually be promoing something in advance of it coming on. This Tuesday night, we're going back to the classic audio only Tuesdays so I can play a Ghost of Tom Jones show that I attended. Our old friend Maddie found this on Jungle Land under the This Date in Bruce History the other day on January 10th. It's January 10th, 1996, and in Detroit. And it's a fantastic show, and it is a fantastic recording. And I was like, oh, you know what? I should put this up for our Tuesday night audio only because this is a really good sounding Jode recording. And it was a really great show. It was a special show for me. Anyway, so there's a little promo Tuesday night. Listen to or come by the channel and we'll be listening to Fox Theater, Detroit, Michigan, 1996, January 10th.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That's a type of show you don't need video for, so that would be nice.
Absolutely. I was way up in the balcony. My sister was down front, sound asleep. My sister doesn't go see solo acoustic Bruce anymore. She did. She dozed off too much. She likes to party. She needs some rock and roll. She was not in the mood for the Ghost of Tom Joad. I don't think. I think it went, that whole era went right past her.
Yeah, this, there was actually 33 songs. I think you said 32 earlier. Bruce Bay says a 33. And yeah, Patty was not there, says, even though he sings tougher than the rest, which is a little strange for back then, at least.
And more promo, hopefully next Saturday, we'll be watching my cut of that Cardiff show. So the other Nugs release that came out at Christmas was the very first U.S. show on the reunion tour. They opened the reunion tour in Barcelona, Spain, and did a whole bunch of Europe before coming to the U.S. And they opened the U.S. with 10 nights or 9 nights. Do you remember how many nights it was at the Meadowlands? And I don't even remember what the arena was called.
Yeah, it was 15 nights at Continental Airlines Arena.
15 and nights. Was it already Continental or was it still Brendan Byrne Arena?
I believe it was called Continental Airlines Arena back then, but I could be wrong.
It changed names many times, and it's no longer there. There's a new arena in its place. But, yeah, that arena that changed names like 7 times in its life. At one time was Brendan Byrne. It might have been Continental Airlines Arena. 15 shows, and this was the first one.
This was on television. This was on VH1. The first, they were able to air the first 2 songs live, and the anticipation of that show starting was insane. I mean, just from your living room, you could feel it, you know, the audience, and the lights go down as they're coming on stage for the first time in the U.S.
It was a long time before they were coming to my town. I wasn't really traveling. I did end up seeing like 7 shows on the reunion tour, but the first 2 were right here in my own hometown, and it was a while before that. I mean, it had to do 50, I'm sure it was 15 nights over a month at least. They would, you know, they didn't play 15 nights in a row. They would play 2 or 3 nights in a row back then, but they didn't play 15 nights in a row. That probably took a whole month of them just camped out at the Meadowlands Arena. And there was great video for that. The sound was fantastic. There was great video for that. I'm going to bring up the set list for that one too. But we did have a chance to dub that and watch that. We watched it like the week after that it came out. And it was absolutely a fantastic show. Little rusty. It wasn't their first show because they did Europe, but it was a little rusty. But yeah, it comes right out of the gate. And my video includes the VH1 footage for those first 2 songs. My Love Will Not Let You Down, Promised Land. And then it cuts to, I think it was New York City Bitch Committee who put out this stage and screen 2-camera mix for $19.99, 2-camera mix. It's really nice. I had a great time putting it together with the sound and watching it on my channel when we were streaming it. So after VH1 signed off, they went into Two Hearts, Darkness, Darlington County, Mansion on the Hill, gorgeous 99 Mansion on the Hill, the River, the 99 Reunion River, which I used to think was odd. In fact, I used to go out and smoke when I saw in those 7 shows. I kept going out to get my cigarette during the River, but now I appreciate it a lot more. Wish I would have stuck around for more of them. And then into the big 5-pack that was on every New Year's show, the River, I mean, Youngstown, Murder, Inc., Badlands, Out in the Street, 10th Avenue Freeze Out. And then boom, right out of 10th Avenue Freeze Out, we knew that this tour is going to have some special stuff. Where the Bands Are, Working on the Highway, Goes to Tom Joad, Streets of Philadelphia in Jersey. Nowadays, you only get that in Philadelphia. But here he is playing it in Jersey, and it's on that Goes to Tom Joad show we'll be listening to on Tuesday in Detroit. Backstreet's Light of Day, Freehold, which he also played the next show, and I guess several shows in that 15-night run. Stand on It, which he also seems to be in a lot of those shows. Hungry Heart, Born to Run, Bobby Jean, Thunder Road, If I Should Fall Behind, Land of Hope and Dreams. A great show to have. The sound was fantastic. The video was just fantastic. I think that the last month has been just an amazing time to be a fan.
Yeah. Yeah, and Streets of Philadelphia. I mean, it makes sense. That was, he won an Oscar for this song not too long before, not too, it was pretty, you know, still pretty new. He hadn't, of course, had a chance to play it with E Street Band at all. And this was a big hit, this song. And of course, it is on the greatest hits, which was released in 95, I think, or 96. And from Tracks, we got Stand On It. And what am I forgetting? Right. Where the Bands Are. Yeah. Which Tracks had just been released. I mean, this could have been called the Tracks Tour. Although he didn't give it a name.
If there was a market for a Tracks Tour, they would have called it the Tracks Tour. But there wasn't. There was a big, giant box set, and they couldn't figure out how to sell it.
Yeah, I don't know how good it did as far as sales, but of course we bought it.
Well, and, Tracks, like most releases since like 92, Tracks mastered the market the week it came out, and then it kind of died off because he has a diehard following that buys everything the day it comes out. And then the soft market, that's why they put out 18 tracks, because it was such a cumbersome, it was a $50 price tag, which now doesn't sound like a lot of money for a big box set, but in 1999 it was a hefty price tag to pay for four CDs. You know, CDs were $12, and even that, $12, I mean, I'm old enough to remember $4 LPs, well, albums on vinyl. Now a vinyl will cost you $60.
Yeah, this was very expensive. I couldn't afford it at the time, but got it much later.
I think my mom bought it for me as a present. Thanks, Mom.
Thank you, Mom.
So, there's a couple things in the news this week, right? We got a couple odd stories. An old story from Hollywood, Florida, came out that I'd heard about it that went during the show, but that Bon Jovi was at the show. But somebody released a picture of Bruce and Bon Jovi during the sound check out on the stage, and a story about how he showed up but didn't join them. I don't think Bruce was looking for people to join him at the beginning of this tour at all.
Yeah, this was the third Florida show that I didn't attend, because it was at the Hard Rock, and it was a hard ticket, that's for sure, because very small place. And so I didn't realize, yeah, Jon Bon Jovi lives in Palm Beach, Florida, which is, I guess, about an hour away from Hollywood, they say. So he was there and on stage and before the show. So you would have thought they were going to perform together at some point, just like the old days, where he'd come up and they'd do a song maybe, and then he'd leave, but he never did. And very little strange.
I think that if he showed up at a show now, he'd be more likely to get on stage than then. That was the fourth show into a tour that, you know, Bruce was still working out, and he was still, you know, I don't think he was looking for anyone to join him on stage at these early shows. He had an agenda, and he wanted to stick to it. It's my guess. I don't like speaking for Bruce Springsteen or predicting how he thinks, but I don't think that guests were welcome on stage at the beginning of this tour. I think now is a little different. The only guest I can think of the whole tour, there was George Strait, who introduced them, and that might have been under pressure. He might have said, "I'm coming out there and introducing you," but wasn't really, that wasn't part of the show. There was Michelle Obama and Kate Capshaw came out and just sang backup during Glory Days at the one show, and I think that's it. I can't think of any other guests coming on stage the entire tour.
This tour is very different than the other tours, and it's so tight, and it's almost like Bruce is, without saying it, it's like this, he's not doing what he used to do, where a bunch of people from the audience were called up onto the stage and everybody's got a guitar, and none of that's happening now. So
that's the other thing. We don't even know what the protocol is for COVID, if they can even have people. I know that they certainly have a lot fewer backstage guests than they would normally have. They at one point, I believe they had no backstage guests were permitted. I think that's changed.
Yeah. So I'm not surprised that he didn't have Bon Jovi on stage singing with him. I'm just surprised that he was there and then didn't. I mean, it didn't. You would have thought it for sure he was going to be on stage at some point, but he wasn't. But it, I can see why, because he hasn't done it at all. I mean, the exception, like you said, was the first lady, and that's a little different.
And I'm sure Bon Jovi was just there to see the greatest show on earth and didn't need to work that night.
Oh, sure. Yeah, probably wouldn't have made a difference. But
and then you were telling me another story about a painting, something about a painting.
Yeah, this is another odd story, because there's not much to this story, but the reason I'm bringing it up is because someone had painted a picture of Bruce's first house, and the problem is there's absolutely no pictures of Bruce's first house. Bruce has no actual pictures of his house anywhere, and it's been demolished. And so he had to go by his memory only, and he worked with the painter and actually had the painter paint a picture of what he remembers his house looking like, just by memory. So they worked this out, the painting. I don't have it in front of me, but it just looks like every other house, nothing special at all. And then it was donated to a family in Ireland. And that's about all there is to say about this story. It's just an odd story.
Let me understand this. Bruce Springsteen commissioned a painter to paint his childhood home from his memory, a composite drawing artist who paints from description to describe his house because he had no pictures. I don't have any pictures of my childhood house. And I don't know how eccentric I would need to get to one day wake up and go, God damn it, I need a picture of my childhood home. Get me an artist.
Yeah, it's really... And yeah, so some lucky family has this now in their home. Again, it doesn't. It's no longer there. It's a parking lot that the church, that church he's spoken about, St. Rose of Lima Catholic Church. It's they use it as a parking lot because they tore it down. That's how nice this house was.
If you had a choice, your guardian angel came to you and said, "Tom, you can have this original painting that was made directly for Bruce Springsteen of his childhood home, or you can have the very first copy of Tracks 2 on CD. Which would you like? Which would you pick?"
Tracks 2.
Yeah. I would also pick Tracks 2 if, and I got to put a caveat, if you take the financial value out, if I'm not allowed to ever sell it, you're not going to get more than $49 for your Tracks 2, but you are going to get a couple million dollars for that painting. So I'd probably take the painting if there was no caveat that said I couldn't sell it, and I'll wait for general release on Tracks 2 very patiently with my $2 million. But if there was any caveat that I couldn't trade it for any monetary compensation, I'd rather have Tracks 2 also. I gave away my autograph that he signed for me in 92. I just can't get that attached to things, memorabilia type things. And boy, owning that, whoever in Ireland owns that, they think differently. Owning stuff that I guess touched greatness, because you know that Bruce Springsteen never touched your copy of tracks two that they're sending you.
That's true. Also, Bruce only lived in this house until he was 6 years old. So he didn't even record any music in this house. I mean, there was no, he probably didn't even sing or pick up an instrument at 6 years old. So
I lived in the same place from the time I was 3 till I was 13. I remember that place, and I did Google it and found it on Google Earth. It's still there, so you can see it. So I can't really relate to that, but I have no memory of where I lived. I know I lived in an apartment inside the city of Detroit the first 3 years. So was there anything else in the news, or are we going to keep it short today and get right to Lurtle? I brought Lurtle.
Well, there is just something very quickly. There was an article, someone ranked the best Bruce Springsteen songs about family. And there's five of them. So I took a look, and there's really only one that I would agree with that would be a good family song, but yet, so I'll just read them to you and you tell me what you think. But so number five, My Father's House, then You're Missing. Not right away, I'm looking at You're Missing and I'm like, this is a family song? Okay. Then there's number three.
It mentions the kids, the sad, horrible kids who are asking if it's all right.
Yeah. Then another one that kind of baffled me, Kingdom of Days. So I don't know what this, I feel like this, the writer just like had every Bruce song in front of them and just pointed without looking and just named a song. Said, this is a family song. So then there's number two is Cautious Man. and then number one, I think number one is the only one I really kind of said, oh, I guess so. But Independence Day, which we know is about
leaving your family. It's about getting away from your family.
Yeah, specifically your father. But so those are the top five family songs. So anyway, so I did list five of mine, and I know you haven't had a chance to do this.
I can get one or two on the fly.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll give you my list very quickly.
All right, let's hear it.
In no particular order. Family song, which sometimes
the giveaway. There's a giveaway right in the title.
It's a giveaway right there. You got to put that in there. Right. And it's also been called, there's an alternate name for it, California, You're a Woman. I think I prefer family song.
Let me ask
you
a question, because I don't know this song. This is an outtake, right?
Yeah, it's actually very good. I think you've probably heard
it
before.
But the author of this article has never heard of this song.
No, and this they should not have been commissioned to write this article.
Right. Okay. Well, there's a lot of people who are only versed on the released material.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to, are the rest of these released Bruce Springsteen songs, or can they all only be found on your old vinyl that you got at a record store in New York behind the curtain?
Well, I want to leave some suspense. So the next one is Prodigal Son.
Okay. And there's definitely not an official release of Prodigal Son, right?
Right. I believe it's called Before the Fame. You could find that song, and it's very good recording, perfect recording, but he never released it. And that's certainly about family. Very autobiographical. Just like family song, you know, really. And then we've got Randolph Street.
He was born right here on Randolph Street in Freehold.
That's correct. great song about family. Then we've got Adam Raised a Cain.
There's one that is part of the Bruce Springsteen catalog.
Yeah. And again, more about his dad, I would say, but you know, about family. And then I kind of ran out of choices, so I put this one on here, The Honeymooners. And it's sort of about starting a family. So
That's on tracks, right?
Yes.
All right. So 2 out of 5 were songs people have heard of. Maybe. Not the guy. Whoever wrote that never heard tracks either. Whoever wrote that article has probably never heard tracks. All right. So I got a couple. Maybe this is the same song. What's the song where his father was just someone he'd see around? What's that song?
Oh man, you stumped me there because I know I
know.
know.
I can't get to it either because I'm trying to think of 30 things at once. And I can't even, but I think the other song I'm thinking of is the same song. What's the song where he reaches under her blouse and feels another one kicking inside? Is that the same song?
Oh, that could be the same song. Now I'm trying to think of the name of that song. Got me.
The same song. Anyway, the comments at the bottom are all going to be, why do these people host a Springsteen show?
God.
All right. Well, while we try to figure that out, and I am going to bring up my edition of Springsteen Lurtle. Now, today's Springsteen Lurtle contest has a twist to it. Every song that I have lyrics here for to challenge Tom with, when you put them all together, there's a theme here. Let's see if he can guess what the connection of all these songs are. The first one is, let's see. I was a fireman out at Rikers. I did my job. Mister, I've been cheated. I feel like I've been robbed. I'm the big expendable. My life's just canceled. Null and void. Well, what are you going to do about your new boy?
Yeah, that was one we spoke of earlier. Roulette.
Roulette. You got it. Some of these are really easy. I didn't think that one was going to be really easy. But that there are some of these are really easy. All right, let's see. Let's see. Oh, this is too easy.
Well, it's my first day back, so
I know, but this is really easy. Oh yeah, you're gonna get this in a second. Some girls they want a handsome Dan or some good looking Joe.
Tougher than the rest.
Couldn't go any further. You had to already have it. Let's see. I've been working all week. I'm up to my neck in hock.
Ramrod.
Oh, some of these are so easy. I thought the theme was such a good idea, but then it limited my song choices.
Oh, I got to think of this theme now. Let me think. Got three of them already.
Gambling man rolls the dice. Working man pays the bill. It's still fat and easy up on Bankers Hill.
I know this one. Give me a little bit more if you got it.
Let's see. Freedom's son, a dirty shirt. The sun on my face and my shovel in the dirt.
Shackled and drawn.
Shackled and drawn. Oh, these are so easy. Let's see. Well, baby, is it your style? The mystery in your smile? Or just how cool you walk in a world gone wild?
Cynthia.
Let's see. I have a couple more here for you. Well, you say you got no new dreams to touch. Ah, you feel like a stranger, babe, who knows too much. When you come home late and get undressed, you lie in bed and feel this emptiness.
Janie, don't you lose heart.
Man, I only have a couple more. And then you have to tell me what they all have in common.
Okay.
I woke up last night shaking from a dream, for in that dream I died. My wife rolled over and told me that my life would be immortalized. It's definitely the hardest one on this list.
And I'm singing it to myself. Is he say the title in the song?
Yes.
TV movie?
Yes. TV movie.
No wonder I know it. Just heard it.
I got one last one for you, unless you know the theme now.
I haven't even thought of the theme. I'm too.
All right. I got one more for you. This one should be pretty easy. Let's see. See my daddy in bed dying, seeing his hair been turning gray. He's been working and slaving his life away.
Is this a cover?
It is a cover.
Okay.
Which is why I saved it for last, in case you wanted to dispute its validity.
Is it one I mentioned earlier?
We've talked about it, I think, even today.
It's My Life?
It's not It's My Life.
Okay, don't put that down as my final answer.
All right.
Because I recognize when you were give me
see my daddy again. See my daddy in bed dying, see his hair turning gray.
Oh, I've got it. Same artist. We got to get out of this place.
That's correct. We got to get out of this place. What is the theme of this list of songs?
I'm trying to think of some of the others you mentioned, because there was Roulette.
There was Roulette, yes. You want the whole list? I'll read them off to you. Janie, okay. Don't You Lose Heart. TV Movie. Roulette. Tougher Than the Rest. Cynthia. Ramrod. Shackled and Drawn. We gotta get out of this place.
That's a hard one. What they have in common. I mean, yeah, I'm kind of stumped at that one.
All right. Well, we're going to give it to you, but you were so close to the answer because you said it over and over again. We talked about that. Every song on that list is on the new archive release. Cardiff, July 23rd, 2020 or 2013. Every single song came off of the set list from that show. I thought you'd get it with TV movie. And then when we threw on the animal song, I thought for sure you've got to see the connection now. And Cynthia and a couple of the, and then I threw on a couple of the, you know, staples like Shackle. Well, Shackled and Drawn is not a staple. It was for that tour, but I thought it was a fun addition to the game.
I should have got that. But next week, we're going to test my IQ.
Well, somebody who listens to the show got it. And then other people didn't get it, but they're going to say they did. All right. So I think that brings us to the end of the very first episode of 2024. I think it's our 28th episode of the World's Greatest Springsteen Podcast. Is there anything you want to say to everybody before we sign off, Tom?
Let me think. Just have you heard anything about any more releases, whether it's archive or box set?
Aside from the one birdie that we've talked about a few times that told me we could see a tracks two type box set like we've been hearing about, like maybe that track list we read about, was it four discs or five? It was five discs. I don't remember what it was. We might be seeing something very akin to that in fall. I haven't heard anything since then, yay or nay about that, but I'm guessing we got to be seeing something soon. And I'm certainly thrilled with the number of Nugs releases that have come out in the last five weeks, something like that. They've released three shows, and all of them were excellent, and all of them had video. And now, while I don't have any news of what's coming, I think I'm very happy with what they've been doing, and I think it'll continue.
Yeah, I think that that we probably will see some more archives before the tour starts, because they've released so many now that I'd be surprised if they didn't do any more.
I for sure would like to see a February, second Friday in February. They did second Friday, December, second Friday, January. I'd like to see February. Second Friday, March is already days before they kick off the Phoenix show. So I don't know. Maybe they'll squeeze one more in. I don't think they're going to keep doing them when the tour is on.
Let me just say one thing. I know we were getting ready to sign off, but something I guess we both forgot to bring up, that Bruce was at the Golden Globes with his wife. And there's really no story here. Bruce didn't perform. Bruce didn't win anything, but he was nominated. And the story that was all over the place, which is really not a story, was that a gentleman came on stage and just mentioned that the only reason he was there was because Bruce was in the building. And those aren't his exact words, but
I know a little bit about it. I don't know the director's name. It was the director of a movie, I think, called Poor Things with Emma Stone. And she won Best Actress or something, and he won Best Director. And I don't know anything about the movie, but yeah, he was excited fanboy to be in the same room with Bruce. He's first, before thanking anybody in his life or that worked on the movie, he said, he mentioned to Bruce that they have the same birthday.
I just wanted to speak to Bruce Springsteen the whole night. We have the same birthday, 23rd September. He's been my hero since I grew up. Anyway, I'm wasting my time.
He said, I just want to tell Bruce Springsteen, we have the same birthday, September 23rd. And I just wanted to say that, you know, I've been a big fan since I was a little kid. And then he started thanking people. And then he thanked Bruce. And he said, thank Bruce for the way I grew up, I think is what he said.
Thank you, everybody. Everybody who worked on the film, people that Searchlight Film 4 Element that produced the film and made it happen, the actors, wonderful actors, Bruce Springsteen for making me grow up the way I did.
Yeah, that made all the press in the world. But what I found even more interesting were the selfies that came out. There was a Matt Damon and Bruce. And there was what was the other one? Who did I see in Bruce? Oh, I forget, but I'll put it up on screen. First, you'll see the Matt Damon, and then you'll see the other selfie that he took. He took a selfie with somebody. But yeah, it's been pretty quiet about what happened with Bruce at the Golden Globes. He didn't win. He took a few pictures, and I'm sure. Oh, it was Bradley Cooper. It was Bradley Cooper he took a selfie with. That's the other one that I'm sure he took 1,000. But the ones that shown up on the internet that I saw, Bradley Cooper and Matt Damon.
And my prediction came true, as always, with my predictions. I said he would be there because he's bored and he's got nothing else going on in his life. So he'll be at the Golden Globes.
I did think he wouldn't be there. That is true. I didn't think he wouldn't, but I can imagine that they both enjoy mingling with the Hollywood people. I mean, I know they've got certain friends in that group, but when Bruce goes somewhere, no matter how huge everybody is, he's still the biggest. Where somebody or even a director points him out and goes, "Freaking Bruce Springsteen is here." The only one who singled out Taylor Swift was the host, and he's still taking grief about it. And it wasn't even that bad a joke. It was just a silly bad. It wasn't a great joke, but he's like taking all this heat about it. All he said was, "We're not going to cut away to Taylor Swift as often as the NFL." And they cut to her, and she had these just look of, it's hard to tell people's looks. She might not even have been paying attention, but the look that came across on TV was like, "How dare you?" And what went viral is Joe Coy, host of Golden Globes, now the enemy of the Swifties all over the world.
Well, I predict next month Bruce will show up to the Blockbuster Video Awards,
The
which
plot.
will
Do they
be.
still have that? When are the Grammys? Is he up for a Grammy? Is he up for an
Yeah.
Oscar? Is this thing up for an Oscar?
Well, this was this this was so
This
the Golden Globe
was
Addicted to
Addicted
Romance.
to Romance. He's also got that Grammy category, vocal performance. That did that already happen?
I don't think it happened yet. And yeah, that's for the Soul Covers album. So I don't think it happened yet. Again,
I do not follow award shows. I don't support award shows, and I haven't seen the Golden Globes. I watched Joe Coy's monologue, and I watched the director, the whole clip of the director commenting to Bruce. That's all I've seen of the Golden Globe, and I've seen those selfies. I saw a couple pictures of Bruce at a table. It looked like he was at the table with I can't remember the actor's name, but he was on the Mindy Project, and he played a big Bruce fan on the Mindy Project. That was part of his character.
well, I don't know about you, but I miss I didn't watch this awards show, of course, but man, if Ricky Gervais was there, wouldn't it have been so much better?
And he
Don't you?
won. Ricky Gervais won for Best Comedy Special. And he was not there to accept his award or to see Bruce Springsteen up close, which I know he's a big fan also. All right, Tom, I think we did it. I think we got through the first episode of 2024. As we get into this year and as we get into this tour, we hope there'll be a lot more to talk about, more archives to come out, and then shows starting up in March. I'm really excited. It's good to see you. I hope you had great holidays. Is there any kind of, did you change your sign off, or do you just want to beg Landau for tracks too?
Yeah, you did say earlier you thought the fall, but then weeks earlier you said the spring. So I just want to be sure you didn't misstate that. Did you mean to say the spring?
Which one comes in April? I
That would
think
be, I
the
believe.
spring. I didn't mean to say the fall.
Okay, because you were scaring me there.
Okay, no, I did. I heard that it would be the spring, like right around tour time.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not gonna berate John Landau again this week, but I just hope it's coming out. We're all looking forward to it. We need something before this tour starts, and hopefully, this tour will be a little different than what we're used to.
You know what Bruce said in 1988? Gotta sing a new song. Gotta
That's
sing
what
a
he
new
said.
song. That's what he said.
That's what he said. You're right.
Okay. All right, man. I will see you next week. And so for Tom and me, Fisherman the Bootlegger who pays the highest price, the world's greatest Springsteen podcast loves you.